Corinthians 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. All right, this is the word of the Lord. Grab a seat as Pastor Dwayne comes and brings the message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you are here today, and I look forward to what God has for us here this morning. And as you can see on the board there on the screen, we are talking about stewardship today. And this is something that we generally really focus on probably about once a year. And today we're going to be looking at stewardship, and we're going to be talking about sowing for eternity. It will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you want to open up your Bibles there to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you can follow along with me. And let me encourage you with that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started here this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And Lord, I pray that as we dig into the Word of God here today and we get an understanding, Lord, of what it truly means to be a good steward, Lord, I pray, God, that you would guide our hearts here today. Help us to see your truth. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Like I said, once a year we focus our attention on biblical stewardship. Biblical stewardship is an important aspect of our Christian walk. Biblical stewardship must be integrated into our Christian lives in order for us to live a life by faith. So there's a difference between ownership and stewardship. And I want you to understand that difference here this morning. Ownership says that it belongs to me, whereas stewardship says it belongs to God, and he has entrusted it to me. The Bible never presents us as the ultimate owners of anything that we possess. Our time belongs to God. Our abilities belong to God. Our opportunities belong to God. Our possessions belong to God. Our finances belong to God. Even our very lives belong to God. Look in Psalms chapter 24, in verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those that dwell therein." Everything we have ultimately comes from the hand of God, including ourselves. We belong to him. He is our creator. We belong to him. The question of stewardship, therefore, is not how much of my money should I give to God? The better question is how much of God's money should I keep for myself? That changes everything. You see the difference. Paul was writing to believers in Corinth concerning their giving to help the needy Christians in Jerusalem. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul moves beyond simply asking them to give. He teaches them how God views giving, and what he teaches applies far beyond money. It teaches us how to live as stewards. God gives us a very powerful principle here. What we sow determines what we reap. What we do with God, what God has placed into our hands, has consequences, and not only for today, but also for eternity. So the central truth of this passage here that I want you to get a hold of is faithful stewardship begins when we recognize that God owns everything and that we joyfully invest what he has entrusted to us for his glory. So let's look at that principle here. Let's look at the principle of sowing. Paul begins with a picture of everyone understood. It's quite elementary. We understand a farmer sowing seeds. A farmer does not put one seed into the ground and he expects an abundant harvest, does he? The size of the harvest is connected to the amount of the seed that is sown. And here is where many get hung up on biblical giving here. They want to know, well, how much should I give? How much should I give? Well, the reality, it really depends on whether you want to reap sparingly or whether you want to reap bountifully. Paul takes the agricultural principle here and applies it in a spiritual matter. Look at the picture of sowing here this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. A farmer must put something into the ground before he can expect anything to come out of it. There is no harvest without planting. And the same is true spiritually. You cannot expect a harvest of faith without investing in faith. You cannot expect a harvest of discipleship without investing in people. You cannot expect a harvest of missions without investing in missionaries. You cannot invest. You cannot expect a harvest of souls without investing in the gospel. You cannot expect a harvest of spiritual maturity without investing in spiritual study. Harvest requires investment. A farmer can sit in the barn, and you guys can sit there and have your cuppa and sit back and enjoy looking at some beautiful seed. Oh, it's great seed. It's beautiful seed. I mean, just look at it. Run your hands through it. Isn't this great seed? Isn't this awesome seed? Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it gorgeous? It's one of the premier seed that we could ever purchase. But seed, despite its potential, produces no harvest if it stays in the barn. The farmer must realize that if we don't release the seed from his hands, he's not going to have the benefits of it. And likewise, God has placed resources in our hands. And the question extends beyond simply whether we possess them. What we must ask ourselves is, what are we doing with them? Notice the proportion of sowing. Back to verse 6, it says, But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. There is a principle here. Our investment affects our harvest. This does not mean that giving is a scheme to get rich. Paul is not teaching here that if you give God $100, he's going to give you $1,000. That's not what he's saying here. That's not biblical stewardship. The harvest Paul describes throughout this passage may and can include God's provision, absolutely. But also it includes spiritual fruit. It includes thanksgiving. It includes righteousness. It includes ultimate glory to God. Listen, God is not some heavenly vending machine where we go and we put money in and demand a blessing out of it. That's not the case. We give to God because God is worthy. But also look at the purpose of sowing. Why does a farmer sow? Because he sees something beyond the seed. He sees the harvest. The seed disappears into the ground, but it does not disappear without purpose. Here, I want to give you a great principle here on stewardship. You may even want to write this down. Here's a great principle on stewardship. What leaves your hand may accomplish something far greater than what remains in your hand. Think about that. What leaves your hand may accomplish far greater than what remains in your hand. A dollar spent on ourselves is consumed. A dollar spent investing in the gospel may influence a soul and have an eternal impact. A children's church leader may invest 1 hour in a child, and years later that child may become a missionary. A parent may invest years in teaching a child the scriptures, and that child may grow up and influence generations to come. A church may invest in missions, and souls around the world may hear the gospel. Never underestimate what God can do with what you are willing to release to Him. Let's look at the principle of sacrifice next. The principle of sacrifice, we're in verse 7 now, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, Paul moves from the amount of giving to the attitude of giving. God is not merely interested in what comes out of your hand. He's interested in what's happening in your heart. He says to give purposely. Give purposely. Back to verse 7. So let each one of us give as his purpose in his heart. We are to give purposely. Biblical giving is intentional. It should not happen accidentally or out of guilt. There should be prayer. There should be planning. There should be thought. There should be purpose. And you notice that we have an offering box on the welcome table there. For those of you who may be new today, We have an offering box on the table there. And if you, those who are involved with cold, hard cash, you still back to the cash generation, well, then you can give your cash there if you want to support our ministry. For those who don't, there's also a giving card on the table there. And you can do your QR code, and it'll take you to a place where you can give online. Most of our giving is online today because a lot of people don't like dealing with cash anymore. But here's what you will notice. We don't pass around a bag, and we don't pass around a plate in order to collect your money. We don't do that. And if you go in and read all of the church growth books and things like that, most of them say that you can actually increase your giving by 30% if you're willing to do that. But we don't do that, and we don't do that purposefully. What you give should be between you and God. I mean, nothing like a little bit of peer pressure to increase the offerings, right? I mean, you go and pass the plate, and you see somebody else giving, you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess, you know, I better give, right? You know. Others give to basically show off their pride, show off their wealth. Others may give because of deceitfulness, and they sort of fake their giving because, you know, they don't want anybody to think badly of them. Look, I've just eliminated all that. We don't pass around a bag. We don't pass around a plate. We have a box in the back there. You can go online, and you can give in the privacy of your own home, or you can go over there and just give in the box. You can give as God leads. Listen, I'm not a high-pressure salesman looking to squeeze every dollar out of our congregation. Do we have needs here? Absolutely. Of course we do. We always will. That's part of a growing ministry. There will always be needs to fulfill, regardless how much money and income we have coming into this ministry. There's always some needs out there that we can manage, and that's the nature of our ministry. But I'm not interested in manipulating people to give to this ministry. You give because God has placed it upon your heart to give. And when God has placed that upon your heart to give, then let me encourage you to give purposely. To give purposely. A steward asks, Lord, what do you want me to do with what you have entrusted to me? That's radically different than asking, how much can I give without affecting my lifestyle? First question begins with God. The second question begins with self. But also he tells us to give peacefully. So let each one give as his purpose in his heart. What does it say? Verse 7, not grudgingly or of necessity. Paul says not grudgingly or of necessity or constantly being compelled to give, to be asked to give. God doesn't want us to give while complaining. There is a significant difference between giving because I have to and giving because I get to. There is a difference between, here, take it, and Lord, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your work. God is not impressed with, God is not impressed by a gift that is accompanied by resentment. The size of the gift may impress other people, but God sees the heart behind the gift. He says that we're to give joyfully. Back to verse 7. For God loves a cheerful giver. The word carries the idea of joyful willingness. Christian stewardship should not be viewed as punishment. It should be viewed as a privilege. We get to participate in God's work. We get to support missionaries. We get to provide for ministry. We get to help people in need. We get to spread the gospel. We get to invest in eternity. Imagine a child who wants to go and help his father with a project. So the father goes and gives the child some money and said, hey, I need to go get some parts. Will you go and get those parts for me? And then the child comes back with those parts in hand. And the child says, hey, Dad, look what I bought for you. Well, the father smiles, not because the child provided something that the father could not afford, but because the child wanted to participate. And that's stewardship. God doesn't need our money. But God wants our hearts. Notice the provision of sovereignty. In verse 8, it says that God is able. Don't miss that. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. This verse contains a tremendous truth here this morning. Get a hold of that. God is able. He is able. He is able to take care of your needs. He is able to deal with whatever you're going through. And he gives out that which he sees fit. Some people say, well, you know, I don't know why these people make more money than I do. I don't know why they have more things than I do. I'm just as a good as a Christian as they are. Well, it may be because of God's sovereignty. God chooses what he's going to give. And maybe God understands if you had what they had, then you would no longer be dependent upon him. You may be dependent upon yourself. And so God is able and he gives as he sees fit. Our goal doesn't diminish God's, our giving rather, doesn't diminish God's resources. Think about that. God is not dependent upon our wealth. We don't provide for him. He provides for us. He is our provider. And so God provides abundantly. He provides abundantly. Go back to verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, it says. God's grace is not scarce. God is not running out. He is not looking at heaven's treasury and saying, oh boy, angels, we got a problem. We got a problem here. We better be careful. We're almost run out here. Supplies are getting low. We better pull back on the blessings. God doesn't do that. God owns everything. Psalms 50, verse 10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, every cattle on the thousand hills. God doesn't have a lack of resources. God can provide through unexpected means as well. He can provide through expected means. He can provide through unexpected means. God can provide by increasing our income. God can provide by decreasing our expenses. God can provide by opening a door, and God can provide by closing a door. But whatever that means to God, he is sovereign, and he remains our provider. And God provides sufficiently. He provides for sufficiently. Notice it goes on to say, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Notice the wording there. God promises sufficiency. It does not promise that every Christian is going to be wealthy. He promises sufficiency. He promises that his grace is sufficient. Stewardship begins when we learn how to distinguish between needs and wants. The world constantly tells us, you need more. You need more. You need this. You need that. You need more. Whereas the Bible tells us, that God says, I'm enough. I'm enough. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, and my government shall supply all my needs. Is that what it says? It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God provides what we need to accomplish what he calls us to do. This does not mean that we should be idle and we should expect God to cater to our every whim. I mean, let's not forget the law that we learned last week, the law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. If you sow nothing and you're stingy with what God has given to you, well then listen, do you really expect God to bless you with more? I mean, do you do that with your children? If you have a child that you go and you constantly give things and they're just unappreciative of the things that you give them, are you going to constantly give them more? We don't do that with our kids. So why would God do that with us? In fact, if you're not managing properly what God has given to you, well, the fact of the matter is you may end up losing it. Go back and have a look at Matthew 25. You see the parable of the talents. He gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. And he says, go out and invest those and use those. And the one who refused to go out and invest it, he lost what was given to him, and it was given to another. When we trust God with what we have, he will give us what we need. And God provides purposely. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't have the right tool for the right job, and so you improvise? I'm looking at all you men out here. You know, we do that all the time, don't we? Yeah, I know you're getting the elbow in the ribs, aren't you, right now? We do that all the time. I know I do. And sometimes it works. And in fact, a lot of times it works. That's why we do it. But occasionally, there's that one time that your wife likes to remind you of that it did work. And you end up ruining your project, or you end up taking a lot longer than you expected to because you didn't use the right tool for the right job. Right? God has given us seed, and He's given it to us for a specific purpose. He has a good work that He wants to accomplish through you. Go back to verse 8 here. Notice what it says, that you may have an abundance for every good work. Paul says that you may have an abundance for every good work. God does not bless us merely so that we can consume more. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. God's provision should become God's provision through us. Think about that. He puts something into our hands so that he can use that to go and help the lives of someone else. The blessing is not supposed to stop with us. We are to be a blessing to others. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. Notice the principle of stewardship. Verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Some seed will need to be used for bread. We got to have food. Makes sense, right? God doesn't expect you to take everything He's given you and to give it to somebody else, and we go and live in a cave someplace and we go and live as a pauper. That's not what God has called us to do. Some of the seed is to be used for bread, to take care of your own needs. God is not asking us to give everything away. So some of that seed is used for our benefit, but God also gives seed to be sown. Not all seed is meant to be eaten. Some seed is meant to be planted. And this is where stewardship becomes practical. Notice, first of all, God gives the seed. He is the supplier. Everything we have comes from God. And Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your father, as it is this day." You hear people talking about, well, I'm a self-made man, or I'm a self-made woman. And they talk about how they came from small beginnings and how they worked really hard and they climbed the ladder and they got to where they are today. And they're so proud of themselves. Let me ask you, how did you get there? Your ability to work came from God. Your health and your strength came from God. Your opportunities came from God. Your intelligence came from God. Your possession came from God. Your income came through the opportunities that God allowed. Ultimately, God is the one who gives you the seed. And notice, God expects the sowing. God expects the sowing. Look in verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower. Notice that. If God gives seed to the sower, well, then He expects the sower to sow. Makes sense. He didn't give seed to the consumer. He gave it to the sower. Not holding it in his hand, but to sow the seed so that it will grow. Stewardship is not merely what God has given to me. It is what does God want me to do with what He has given to me. There are three ways that we can treat what God puts in our hand. We can waste it. We can spend it on ourselves. We can consume it. Or we can worship it. We know a lot of people that go around and they chase money. They're looking to, that's their life. They live to make more money. They worship it. It's become their God. Or we work it. We work it for God's glory. And the biblical stewardship chooses the third. But notice God multiplies the seed. Now this is good. God multiplies the seed. Look in verse 10. Now may he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed, notice this, that you have sown. He multiplies the seed that you have sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Paul says, supply and multiply the seed that you have sown. This is where stewardship becomes exciting here. God can take something small and he can multiply the impact that it has. One track, one conversation, one missionary, one offering, one kid's class lesson, 1 hour of service, 1 investment in a young person, 1 act of generosity, 1 faithful Christian. That's all it takes. And he can take that which is small and make it great. Now, you know, I hear people from time to time that they talk about how busy their lives are. And they're so busy that they can't do anything for God. They're struggling to do anything for, and I want you to understand this principle here this morning. If you are willing to give God what he is asking of you, well, then the time that you have left, you'll be amazed what God can do with that. And that's not only time, it's also your finances as well. Whenever God has laid upon your heart to give, let me encourage you to give. You say, well, Dwayne, things are tight. Yeah, you know what? They're tight. They're probably tight for everybody. But allow God to take that gift, take that offering, you plant that seed, and allow him to provide the harvest for you. In fact, this is one of the areas in the Bible, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, where God says, prove me. Test me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and you test me, and you prove me, and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you can't contain. He says, try me. So let me encourage you to try God for the next 6 months. Whether it's your time or whether it's your finances or whatever it is that God has given to you, whatever resources you have, over the next 6 months, you go and you give what God has called upon you to give. You go and you do, and you keep a journal. You keep a journal, and then you write all the blessings that God has given you over the next 6 months. And I'm telling you, you're going to be amazed. It's going to be amazing what God can do through what you have released to him. We just sang the song, Take My Life. Let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my all. It is yours. I mean, do we sing this song just because it's a song that we sing? Or is that really our life? Is that how we choose to live our Christian life? Lord, take my life. We cannot always see what God will do with what we sow, but we don't need to see the entire harvest. We simply need to be faithful with the seed that God has given to us, regardless of how small it may seem to us. And by doing so, it increases the fruits of your righteousness, he says, and you are enriched in everything for all liberality. Listen, you can't outgive God. The more you sow, the more you reap. Why? So that you can go and you can sow more. This is how it works. And notice the product of stewardship here. Paul now shows us the results of faithful giving. The harvest is much larger than the financial return. Stewardship produces thanksgiving. In verse 12, for the administration of this service is not only supplies the need for the saints. This is what your gifts do. You give us to the church, and we have the opportunity to go and help those in need, help those that are struggling, and we've shown you that time and time again. But also is the abounding through many thanksgiving to God, many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceedingly grace of God in you. Verse 11 says, that which causes thanksgiving through us to God. And in verse 12 it says, for the administration of this verse not only supplies the needs for the saints, but it also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Think about that for just a moment. When you faithfully give, When you faithfully give, you may never meet the person who ultimately benefits. In fact, somewhere, someone out there may be the recipient of your gift, and they don't maybe know fully where it came from. But whenever they receive their gift, whenever they have a need, they look up and they say, "Thank God. Thank God." Because there was a gift there in their time of need. Your giving can become someone else's reason to thank God. A missionary can say, "Thank God for the churches that support us." A young person can say, "Thank God for someone investing in me." A needy family might say, "Thank God for somebody who cared." A sinner can hear the gospel, and one day they can say, "Thank God someone gave so that I could hear the gospel." Your stewardship can produce thanksgiving to God long after you are gone. The stewardship produces testimony. Look in verse 13. "While through the proof of this ministry," he says. Proof of this ministry. Verse 13 speaks of the proof of this ministry. Our stewardship demonstrates something about our faith. Giving is not the foundation of salvation, but surrendering our possessions proves our understanding of God's ownership and testifies to others of our faith. And in doing so, it says they glorify God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You can't serve God and money. Whatever you hold most dear in your heart will naturally be where you invest your energy and your resources. Your treasure reveals your heart. If everything we value is temporary, then we may have forgotten that eternity is a reality. But we can share our testimony of faith and how we share God's resources with others. Stewardship produces fellowship. Look in verse 14. "And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you." The belief is that the poor and suffering Christians deserve our charity. And this will inspire them to pray for us and to wish us well. A poor Christian's prayer holds greater value for us than any charitable donations we typically may provide for them. Giving connects those believers together with other believers, and some maybe they've never met before. Stewardship creates fellowship. And a church in Australia can help reach people across the other side of the world. A person sitting in church here today can participate in missionary work without ever boarding a plane. That's the beauty of the gospel of stewardship. We can have part in a work that we cannot physically do ourselves. But notice here the priority of the Savior. In verse 15, it says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." And suddenly, we realize, when we come to the end of this chapter, we realize that the greatest gift in this passage isn't money, it's Jesus Christ. Paul begins by talking about giving, and he ends by talking about God's gift. Why should we be generous? Because God was generous first. Why should we give? Because God gave first. Why should we surrender? Because Christ surrendered Himself for us. Many of you know John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that He" what? Let me try that again. "For God so loved the world that He" what? It's on the board, class. "He gave. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It was because of God's love that He gave. God did not give us something that He could easily replace. He gave us His only Son. Jesus Christ left heaven. He took upon Himself humanity. He lived a sinless life. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was crucified. He bore our sins upon the cross, and He took our place. That should have been us on the cross. He took our place, and then He died. They put Him in a tomb, and He rose again the third day. And then He offers salvation freely to everyone who believes. And so when we talk about stewardship here this morning, we must never reduce it to money. Money is only one expression of stewardship. Stewardship is the management of everything God has entrusted to us. Everything. The deepest question of stewardship is, have you surrendered yourself to Christ? Have you surrendered yourself to Christ? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Notice this next bit, which is your reasonable service. God is not asking anything of you that is unreasonable. And when you understand what Jesus Christ has done for you, when you understand the salvation that He has provided for you, God has never asked you anything that is unreasonable. This is your reasonable service, he says. Before God wants your wallet, he wants your heart. Before God wants your possessions, he wants your person. Before God wants your giving, he wants your surrender. So let's make this practical here this morning. Let's look at some practical application. And we do so by asking a question, what kind of servant am I? Ask yourself that question here this morning. What kind of servant am I? God gives us seed, not merely to hold, but to sow. And the passage forces us to ask some of us, it may be some very uncomfortable questions. Notice the questions here. What seed has God entrusted to me? I want you to do an audit of your life. Take 30 seconds. I want you to do an audit of your life right now. I want you to think about all that God has given to you. Let me help you out. My time, my ability, my finances, my influence, my opportunities, my family, my position, my possession. Think about all that God has given to you. And then ask yourself the next question. Am I consuming all the seed that God gives me? Am I consuming all the seed God gives me? Am I eating all the seed? Am I focused on my needs, my wants, my desires, or am I planting some of that? Am I allowing the seed to fall from my hand in order to plant for another? And when we talk about sowing, is my sowing purposeful? Have I prayed about what God wants me to do? Seriously, sit down with God and you put out all those seed that God has given to you. You lay it out before Him and you sit down and you ask God, God, what do you want me to give to your ministry? Do I just give when I'm reminded to give from the pulpit? Whenever the pastor goes and preaches on it? Do I give whenever there's a need and then I start, you know, getting the heartstrings pulled and, you know, these people have a greater need than I do. I guess I'll give out of guilt. Is that when we give? Do we give just when a need arises? Or do we have a giving plan that is systematic, that is consistent, that is comprehensive, and that demonstrates my faith in my God as my provider? Next question. Is my sowing peaceful? Do I give willingly? Or do I complain about giving? Do I cringe every time I hear money talked about in church or needs talked about in church or opportunities to serve in church? Do I cringe about that every time I hear it? Does it bring up negative feelings within me? Are you feeling anxiety when you hear those things? Maybe that's a red flag in your life. Maybe there's something you need to bring to God and you really need to consider your heart. Remember, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And is my sowing joyful? Do I consider giving a burden or is it a privilege? I mean, do you get eager to give? How many of you get eager to give? You can't wait to give? You're sitting on the edge of your seat wondering how God is going to use that gift for Him. It's exciting. Does it bring joy to your heart to see how God is using your gift to minister to others? Last question here this morning. What harvest could God produce from my sowing that will outlive me? Because one day everything temporary will be gone. House will be gone, a car will be gone, bank accounts will be gone, possessions are going to be gone, but souls are eternal. The Word of God is eternal. The gospel is eternal. The work that God has given to us has an eternal significance. Are we sowing for eternity? You cannot harvest what you refuse to sow. A farmer understands something that we sometimes forget. You cannot harvest if you refuse to plant. You cannot expect a harvest from seed that never leaves your hand. Stewardship boils down to, how will I manage what the divine has entrusted to me? You can hold it or you can sow it. You can consume it or you can invest it. You can live for what's temporary or you can invest in that which is eternal. And remember, the seed that you release today may produce a harvest you may not ever see until eternity. Let's remember the greatest illustration of stewardship, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. God gave. Christ gave. Christ gave His life. And because He gave, we have the possibility of eternal life. That means our stewardship is not an attempt to purchase God's favor. We give because we have already received grace. We don't give to make God love us. We give because God already loves us. We don't give to earn salvation. We give because Christ has purchased our salvation. We don't give because God needs our resources. We give because God has entrusted His resources to us. So the question is not, what can I afford to give? The deeper question is, what am I willing to surrender to the one who gave everything for me? Imagine standing before Christ one day. Everything you own behind you, your bank account will mean nothing, your house will mean nothing, your car will mean nothing, your boat will mean nothing, your possessions will mean nothing, but what you did with what God entrusted to you will matter. And one day the master's going to ask, what did you do with my seed? What did you do with my seed? What did you do with your time? What did you do with your opportunities? What did you do with your abilities? What did you do with your resources? What did you do with the gospel? What did you do with the life that I gave you? Listen, we may not stand before Him having consumed everything that God has placed in our hands. We don't want that. We certainly don't want that. Maybe we would be able to say, Lord, I tried to be faithful. I took what you have gave me and I sowed it for your glory. Wouldn't that be a better way to stand before the Lord? Because in the end, stewardship is not about how much we gave. It's about how faithful we manage what God has given to us. So Christian, so faithfully, so purposefully, so peacefully, so joyfully, trust God's provision and invest in eternity. And above all, never forget the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Before God ever asked us to sow, God Himself sowed. He gave His Son. God sowed Christ to the world. Christ gave Himself on the cross. And from that one sacrifice came the souls, many souls of harvest, of which you and I are included in that, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If God is willing to give His life, if God is willing to give His greatest gift for us, what are we willing to give back to Him? Let's be good stewards, and let's sow for eternity, church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for all that you have given to us. And Lord, sometimes I know in this world that we live in, time to time, we may get a little stingy. We may want to step back and no longer do that which you have called us to do, Lord. And Lord, there are a number of excuses that we can use to not do what it is that you've called us to do, Lord. But I pray here this morning that we'll recognize those as what they are. They're just excuses. Lord, help us to be faithful to do what it is you've called us to do. Lord, this life is temporary. We have eternity ahead of us. Let us be careful hanging on to those things that are temporary, missing out on those things that are eternal. Pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts. And I pray, God, that you would challenge us here this morning. Help us to be faithful in that which you've called us to do. We ask it all in Jesus' name. We do.